this tent. There you are. You're running for your life. Hello, basketball coaches. This is Will Ray, the head basketball coach at Northridge Prep School in suburban Chicago. If you're looking for a great resource to help you develop professionally, where you can get tons of ideas on how to coach your team and coach your players better, make sure you check out Kevin Furtado's Championship Vision channel. He has over 300 episodes uploaded on just about every conceivable topic in the world of basketball coaching. So give it a try. I'm sure you'll find something worthwhile.
Instruct movement safer and easier with FloorMarks, the original temporary floor marking system. Markers for your sealed gym floor that come in 5 bold colors, dry in just minutes, and wipe away with water or our FloorMarks foot wipes. FloorMarks products have been tested by the Maple Flooring Association as safe for sealed floors and have passed safety friction slip tests. One marker equals 5 rolls of floor tape without the same cost, hassles, or floor damage. Visit FloorMarks.com for more information. FloorMarks.com. Do more with your floor.
Division Podcast, episode 347. I'm really happy that we can get both the boys and girls coach at a great school, Northland High School in Iowa, to kind of speak with us and kind of share what the great things they're doing. We have Brian Wheatley here. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
For sure, for sure. And I'm kind of just studying your defensive system. I know Mike runs his relentless pressure, and I know you guys do the same. Really, I want you to really dive in and kind of teach us your defense. But before we get into that, talk about your playing background. You played for Coach Helmer and so forth. Talk about what the experience was with that and how you got into coaching.
Yeah, so like you said, I actually played for Mike at Estherville Lincoln Central in Northwest Iowa. I believe he came to our school when I was a sophomore. So played under him for 3 years there. And then just kind of one of those deals, we kind of stayed in touch after I graduated high school and, you know, saw him around town and things like that. And as I got a little bit older, he knew I was wanting to get into coaching. And then he took the job down here at North Lynn, which was not too far from University of Northern Iowa, where I was going to college at the time. And he said, hey, if you want to get into coaching, you know, I just took this job. It was about an hour away from where I was going to school, but he didn't have a boys assistant coach. So I was 21 years old and applied. And, you know, it's kind of a funny story. I was in the interview really, really nervous, you know, never applied for a job before. And the outgoing head coach was showing me around and he says, so you're the new boys assistant coach, huh? And I said, well, I hope so, you know? And he said, oh, don't worry about it. You're the one that applied for it. So here we are. Right. So Mike's assistant for 5 years. And then, you know, kind of got my feet under me a little bit and thought I was ready to become a head coach. And the girls program opened, I think it was in 2004. And so I'd move over to the girls side and just been here ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you took over an 0-22 team. Tell me if I'm wrong. How did you turn it around? What were some of the first things that you did to kind of just turn the culture around there?
Yeah, you know, the year before I took it, they were 0-22, but they were young. They started 3 freshmen and a sophomore, I believe it was. And so just kind of one of those deals, only one way to go, but up. And, but I got a real eye opener there. You know, I was 24, 25 years old, whatever. And thought if I just came in and, ran all these great sets and these great plays that we would just magically start winning. And, I remember after that first practice, like basically just scrapping that whole idea. And, we just really had to get to the fundamentals. You know, we couldn't really shoot, dribble or catch. So, the plays I thought I had didn't matter. So, we really focused on the fundamentals. We had a good group of kids that year that worked really hard, ended up winning 8 games. And part of it was just the culture. I remember one of the first games we had, it was a game we could have won. We were ahead late and ended up losing the lead in the last minute or so. And in the locker room, the kids, it was just kind of like no one was upset. You know, it was just kind of like, well, we lost again. And trying to get them to understand, like, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. These are games that we can win, you know, and you can become competitive. So, you know, that group really worked hard for us that year. And, you know, from there, we just have really had a lot of talent come through here and got a strong youth program put into place with a lot of great help from, you know, our community members. And this is a school that, that's got some pretty strong basketball history, you know, especially in the last 10, 15 years. And now you're seeing some of those parents cycle back through and start coaching our youth kids now. So, you know, once things kind of got set as far as that, things kind of took off for us. And we've just been really fortunate here to have the kind of kids we've had come through.
Yeah, it looks like you came in at the right time. And it's all about leadership, right, Brian? I mean, there's a lot of guys that know the game, but you, it sounds like to me, you kind of, you were building a program. There's a big difference between a team and a program. It sounds like when you're talking about the feeder program, and that's not part of our topic today, but you got to reach down to the lower levels, the foundation, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we're a really small school too, for some context. So we're K-12 all in one building.
I love that.
And I teach in the middle school. So, you know, I could kind of get some kids maybe excited about basketball, you know, hanging up some stuff in my room and letting them see the trophies that we've had and that kind of thing and get them excited. But, you know, another thing for us, you know, being in a small community, you get to know everybody, right? So you can kind of handpick the people you know will do a good job with the youth kids. And we've just, like I said, been really fortunate to have some good people working with our youth. And now that the framework is there, it really just kind of runs itself down at that level.
Yeah, it's all about getting good people too. So, I mean, your assistant coaches, all that. I'm in a small community too. So I work at the elementary school as a PE teacher, and I'm now in my high school office. So I mean, I'm right around the corner. So I totally get what you're saying. I think there's a lot of advantages to that. We don't get access to tons of kids, but we get to touch and handle and be around the kids. So the connection's better.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of big schools are kind of jealous of that a little bit, but hey, let's get right into, tell me first of all, when Mike started, because Mike didn't come in right away teaching his style. He kind of took him at some time. You actually had the advantage of kind of seeing it kind of work, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, sure. Yes. You know, when he first came here, you know, the boys program was similar to the girls. You know, we had some good teams here and there, but, you know, so had some up years, some down years, whatever. And, you know, he really evolved, you know, his coaching. He used to be a big set play guy. You know, we're going to walk it up. We're going to get the ball to our best player. And that seems like a million years ago. But, you know, he had a group of athletes coming through. You know, one of them was his older son, who's a heck of a player right now at the Division II level. He's an All-American. And that group just had a lot of really quick athletes and kids that could fly around. And he started putting that in with that group. And I think, I'm sure he probably told you, his dad, Bob, is the winningest coach in Iowa history, co-coached with him for a few years. And, you know, I think he's kind of pushed him a little bit too, like, let's really do this if we're going to do it. And boy, it was really nice, you know, having Bob around for those few years, because he will sit and talk to you. He never forgets anything. You know, he remembers stuff they did 40 some years ago. So obviously I learned a ton, not only from Mike, but having Bob around was really, really great for us. But yeah, we got to see it kind of first, and, you know, we kind of messed around with it for a couple of years, and I'll kind of talk about that later too. But part of it was, I probably didn't know it well enough to teach it, and I wasn't very patient with it. You know, we'd try it and our kids didn't get it. So we said, forget it. We'll just kind of go back. Right. And used to do some 2-2-1 kind of stuff. And, here about 3.5 years ago, I'd say, with this current group that we had, I just thought it would really fit their, you know, our personnel, I guess. So we just decided, you know what, we're going to do it. And, we got to devote ourselves to it and work through the rough patches or whatever. And, you know, obviously it's paid off for us here the last several years, but, so we got to see it in motion first, and, just kind of copied a lot of it from what Mike does with the boys program.
Yeah. Let's dive right into that, coach, and, kind of teach us, you know, from the beginning. And, you know, I know you can ask some clips at the end. Let's get right into it.
Okay. So I'm going to try to share my screen here if I can figure that out. you got it?
Good.
Okay. Yeah. So, I just kind of put together a little bit of a slideshow here with just some of our ideas and concepts. You know, the thing we like to do is it gives kids a lot of freedom, and it really forces the tempo of the game. And it's something a lot of teams just aren't used to playing at that pace for the entire game. So just on this slide here, we just pulled some quotes from some opposing players and coaches over the last couple of years, and it just kind of shows that what we're trying to do here can work sometimes. And you know, if teams know it ahead of time, sometimes they're already worried about it before the game starts. So that's one thing we've found with it. Some of the advantages that we've had, or we feel like this style of defense gives us, first and foremost, you got to have a lot of energy. You got to fly around, and the kids really like it. At the end of the year, we kind of do an anonymous survey with our teams and ask them, what's your least favorite part of practice? What's your favorite part of practice? And 100% of the time, it's their favorite time is when they scrimmage, when they get to play. Right. It's fun. It's a fun style to play. You're not just standing around waiting for something to happen. There's constant action. It's allowed us to play maybe a few more kids here and there than maybe we would otherwise. It's unpredictable. And this is kind of what makes it difficult to teach sometimes or kids to understand, but it's going to look different every time. It's not like a set rule like you might see in a diamond press or a 2-2-1 press, where if the ball's here, you do this. It's all based upon reads, and players got to read their teammates and react from there. Which that makes it difficult for the offense too. They're not sure when a trap's coming or if it's not coming or that kind of thing. And I think at our level, this next one is big for us. Like I said, we're at a small school. Honestly, most teams at our level, probably including our own teams, don't have 3 or 4 ball handlers, right? So if you can kind of get the ball out of that main ball handler's hands and get it to that second or third or maybe even fourth ball handler, and you're going at a really fast pace, sometimes that's difficult for those kids to make those decisions that they're not used to making. I think it's pretty versatile, and I'll show you in a couple clips at the end. And we just kind of do this on the fly sometimes. Sometimes it's coaches, sometimes it's kids just making these reads. But, you can trap early, you can trap late, you may not trap at all. And it just really, I think, helps to keep the offense really off balance there when they're not sure exactly, where the pressure's coming from, when it's coming, and those kinds of things. We score a lot of points, and a lot of it just straight from our defense. You're getting deflections and steals, and you're running out. Again, getting that ball going up and down the court. Conditioning, in practice, we don't run. Like, we don't run sprints. We don't run killers. We might do some up and down shooting drills or kind of thing, but a lot of our conditioning just takes care of itself when we go full court. And, we'll put some time on the clock and try to come up with some different ways to score it if we're going against our second group or whatever. But kids are used to playing at that pace. And one thing we kind of noticed with it too, I think playing this style of full court up and down basketball has helped our half court defense.
For sure. I think
there's a certain intensity and level of hustle you have to play if you're going to play this style. And I think it just kind of ingrains it in the kids. That's just how you play. And, when we do get to the half court, because you are going to need your half court defense still, right? Like, we state championship game this year, we pressed for about a quarter. We didn't feel we were getting out of it. And we kind of talked in the huddle. We had some senior leaders, and they said, let's just play half court for a little bit and see what happens. So, we won the state championship game this year playing 90% half court defense. And that's just, we thought that was our best bet in that particular game. But I think just playing with this intensity all the time has helped that. Kind of mentioned this before too. It gives players freedom. They're out there making the reads. We're not telling them you got to go now or you got to do this. And sometimes they make the wrong one, but we live with that. And we just tell them, like, if one of our rules, if you're going to go trap, just go. Don't stop. You can go halfway and kind of pussyfoot around or whatever. If you're going to go, and then we'll live with the results. So, again, I kind of mentioned this. I think it's hard to prepare for, as far as running a press offense. Are you going to run your regular press offense? Are you going to clear out? What are you going to do, as far as trying to break it? Just because there's so many different little nuances within it that you can do that gives it different looks. You know, almost each possession, something different could happen. So those are kind of the things that we've found. I probably wouldn't have made this list when we started it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just the things we've noticed as we've really dove into it here the last few seasons, things that we felt gives us an advantage. Just talk a little bit about some of the challenges. You know, obviously, if you're trapping, you're going to be disadvantaged, you know, if they get that ball out of there. You really got to sprint out of there and then scramble and try to get matched up the best you can. Rebounding sometimes becomes an issue out of the press. You know, if teams bust it and get an open look or whatever, you're scrambling to get matched up. And sometimes you're going to give up some rebounds. You might give up some open shots. You know, at the end of the day, you just got to decide if you're willing to live with that, if you're getting enough positive things out of it. This was a big one, why we kind of went away from it about 3 or 4 years ago, or about 4 or 5 years ago, I should say. We had a group, we won a state championship in 2020, and we tried to implement it with that group, and they had some really good players. And I probably didn't know how to teach it well enough yet at that point. And I probably wasn't patient enough, but kids always wanted, you know, what if this happens? What if this happens? And it just became something I just, okay, fine. We're not doing it. We're going to go back to our 2-2-1. And, you know, for that particular group, that worked fine too. But, you know, kids want to know, well, what do I do here? What do I do here? And it's so, so much based on reads. Like, every time is literally something different. So you just gotta, you know, we just kind of say, just keep playing and we'll figure it out. You know, when we go 5-on-5 a lot in practice, sometimes we'll stop it and say, okay, now if you would have went here, what should have happened? Or if we do something wrong, we'll stop it and say, okay, what went wrong there? Okay. And then they really started to pick up on it, especially this group we had. But you know how kids are, they want to know the answer, right?
Right.
And this press, like, we might not even know the question, let alone the answer. You know, there's so many variables, and kids are just going to have to be able to play through that. And you're going to have to live with some of the ugliness, I guess, when you're trying to put it in. And then, like I said, every time is going to be different. So you just got to stay patient with it. You're going to mess up. The kids are going to mess up. You're going to have people out of position. You're going to give up a layup or two. Those are just things that we just finally decided, you know what, we're going to stick with it and we're going to keep going and try to build it the best we can. Next thing on here. Yeah. And then I had the same thing there, the patience to install it. And that's more for me, the coaching side. I'm not extremely patient. And sometimes I struggle with that when it doesn't look good. I just want to say, just forget it. And we're going to move on and do something else. You know, eventually I was willing to kind of swallow that a little bit and give it a chance to work for us. So,
yeah. Let me jump in really quick. I love that. Cause we're a pressing team. We actually run a lot of 2-2-1 diamond, probably what you did that one year. We do a lot of that. I'm really looking to make a change. That's why I'm studying both you and Mike. And I do a lot of also half court traps, what I call my buzz press and things like that. I'm looking to make some changes. That's why I'm studying you guys. So I really want to pick your brain on, you know, learning every single facet of it. But I think it sounds like to me, you got to be willing to make mistakes and you got to be willing to gamble. And it's going to take a little time to teach, right?
For sure. It definitely takes time, you know. And like I said, it's something we work on every day. You know, I'd say half of our practice or more is us playing 5-on-5. And, you know, we do some shooting drills. We shoot quite a bit. You know, as far as like rebounding, we don't do a ton of rebounding drills. We just really try to emphasize that, you know, within our scrimmages, you know, just to me, you know, I'm not a huge drill guy. We have some, but like rebounding drills, you know, we found out, you know, if we just turn and shoot it and everybody turns and boxes out, we did that pretty well. Cause you know, it's coming, right. But we always, then in the game, we don't box anybody out. So we just try to build everything we can, as much as we can into live play. And, you know, I think the kids like that, but yeah, you got to be able to live with some bad moments, right. And some blown assignments and things like that. So,
right.
Yeah, just moving on here. I get the next thing I have, just some basic rules, and this is a very simplified version. But one thing that we really found out, you know, so we, this is a man-to-man press, and the biggest thing we have to do right away is get matched up. You know, you can't, we got into some habits even this year where our up, you know, our two or three kids that were up front in the press would just run to the elbows and wait for somebody to come to them. Well, if teams are lining up differently and we're not in front of them and they inbound it and go by us, then we're already broken. So we try to mix that up as much as we can in practice. And then obviously some scouting come into that if you can see how your opponents are lining up and things like that. But if you don't get matched up right away, it's pretty hard to get anything going. So that's a big one that we've really tried to hammer home here the last couple of years. There's got to be a lot of communication. You may not have the same person every time, which we're okay with that most times. Just get somebody, get in front of somebody so we can build it and give it a chance. This is another big one here. We want all players in front of the ball. We don't mind if the ball goes backwards on a reversal and things like that. Essentially, and I'm sure I have this on here somewhere too, but we try to turn it into just a full court shell drill. So if you're on the ball side, you're denying, you're taking away that pass. If you're on the backside, we want you in the middle of the floor. So we don't want the ball going, obviously, to the middle or through the middle. We want it to go around the press and not through the middle of it. That's it. I had just had that right there. So the same kind of thing. We want to make sure we have the middle plugged first and foremost, and just try to build it from there. So again, you know, we want to make sure we take away the middle of the court as much as we can. Again, we try to turn it into like a full court shell. You know, you take away everything on the ball side. Those players for us never rotate and trap. They stay home and try to take away that pass. Our on-ball defenders, obviously containing the ball in this press is very, very important. And we do some stuff at the beginning of practices each day to kind of work on that. But, you know, we don't slide, you know, defensive slide, we run. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that we really want teams to do is take off and try to speed dribble. Like that's okay for us. And then we want to try to run ahead of that. You know, we're not trying to steal dribbles unless maybe we tip from behind or anything like that. Obviously, when you play aggressively, you know, the full length of the court, you do risk some foul trouble. So we really try to preach to our kids, if you're on the ball and you're running to cut it off, get your hands up. You know, if you're in there reaching, the officials are a lot more likely to call a foul.
For sure.
If your hands are up, even if you maybe bump them a little bit with the body, you're probably going to get away with a little bit more that way. So that's one of our big rules for the on-ball defenders there. Get those hands up and don't foul. Our nearest off-the-ball defenders. So these are the kids that kind of trigger the press. So if one of our backside defenders decides to go trap, then everybody else reads that and tries to rotate from there. Again, we don't want to trap from the front. We want to trap from the backside or the side. And so that ball handler maybe can't see it or whatever. So, and again, when we get to the clips, I'll show you some examples of that, but that's kind of where it starts. If we think we have a good chance to trap, then we just let those kids go. The other defenders then need to read that. If they see their teammate going to trap, that's their key to rotate up to that next pass. And try to read from there. Obviously, you know, we try to teach reading the eyes and things like that. There are going to be people open, you know, anytime you trap there, somebody's got to be open. We try to make sure we always have the basket covered with our deep player and everybody else can rotate and read from there. Then, like I said, our ball side players, they never leave. You know, if they're dribbling the ball up the right sideline, and you're guarding that girl up the next pass up the sideline, you just stay there and deny that pass. You don't trap, you don't rotate. All of our rotation, our trapping comes on the backside of the play, if that makes sense there.
Yes.
Let's see. And then, yeah, again, you know, if you're going to do this, you got to fly around, you got to anticipate. You know, again, we teach reading the eyes, reading the shoulders. You know, those two things are going to take you to where that player wants to throw the pass. If you're going somewhere, we tell them to go there as fast as you can, even if it's wrong. And then if it is, we can hopefully fix it from there. Just some real, and I don't have a lot on this as far as video or anything like that, but things that we do in practice to kind of build it. we do a lot of one-on-one trying to contain the ball. We call it the man in the hole drill. It's basically, you know, you get your lane of the floor, kind of like the old zigzag drill, but it's 100% live. And that same defender goes three times in a row up and down the floor. And kids don't necessarily love that because it's hard work. But so we'll do that a lot of times at the beginning of practice and, you know, put kids in groups of four, five or six, whatever, and try to match them up, you know, accordingly with skill and things like that. But that's a big one. You know, if we're not able to contain the ball a little bit, it's pretty hard to do any of this stuff. So we use that one a lot again and try to make it as game-like as possible. We'll go with some two-on-two stuff. And early on, we got to work on how to set that backside trap. So we'll have, you know, the offensive player just take off dribbling up the sideline, and we'll position our second player kind of in that initial help spot and then work on trapping from behind there. There are times where you're going to get beat, you know, in the middle. That's the one time where if we do get split, we're looking to back tip that ball from behind and try to poke it out that way. So we'll have a drill where we will let the ball handler kind of split us a little bit, and then those two defenders try to catch up and run and poke it away from behind. Then we just, you know, like everything else, we just kind of build it up. We got some 3-on-3. And all this stuff is from Mike's stuff. I know he might have shared some of that with you the other day. So this is all his stuff here. 3-on-3, you know, we just try to position against different fronts and different alignments. You know, we might say, hey, we're going to set one trap here, and then after that, it's live. So we're trying to steal it. We're trying to rotate, whatever. And then sometimes we add 3-on-3, and then we'll give the defense an extra player and work on rotating up to take away the next pass. And then again, like I said earlier, a lot of it's just 5-on-5. You know, we'll try to build these basics in right away. And, you know, this particular year, we had a really veteran group. We played 8 kids, 4 seniors, 4 juniors, that really understood it. So we didn't break it down probably as much this year as maybe we're going to have to next year, with, you know, losing some of that experience. But again, we do a lot of just scrimmage 5-on-5. And again, that I think that helps with our conditioning. You know, there was several games this year where you could tell the other team by the end of the first quarter was already gassed a little bit. Right. Our kids just get used to playing at that pace. So that's kind of how we build it. And again, you know, if there's something in a game that we think we're not doing very well, we can go back to one of these drills and say, okay, we got to hit this sideline trap. We're not cutting it off the way we should or whatever. So, again, just some ideas, that we've used to help build it up, into that live play situation.
Yeah. I love that, Brian. You know, it's interesting. It's funny how every coach is a little bit different. Sounds like you definitely use 5-on-5 more. Is that because it's more game realistic? It's more less game slippage, I guess. But I guess my question is, you know, like teaching, keeping the hands up, do you have to drill that a lot, or that's just something you emphasize? Because I know our girls foul a lot, and sure, we're trying to get better, but we're a young team as well.
Yeah. I mean, we drill it like in the, you know, our one-on-ones, the man in the hole, we call it, you know, the hands are up. And that's just something too, like in practice, you know, you can, you know, we're the coaches are officiating it. We can get really touchy, you know, with our calls. You know, if you got a kid, you know, in our 5-on-5 stuff, if we think our guards are reaching a little bit too much, we're going to call it really tight. And then they give you the dirty looks and all that stuff. But just, you know, it's something we emphasize, I guess, a lot. You know, and just remind kids that we got to have you guys in the game. You know, if you put your best defenders up on the ball, right? So if you want to be up there, you got to be able to do it without fouling. So,
yes, sir.
We can move on here. Some of the adjustments we make, and again, sometimes the kids kind of come up with these on their own a little bit. And sometimes we'll just pull a kid over to the side and, or maybe at a timeout say, hey, let's mix it up just a little bit. I think one thing you got to think of every game is what you're willing to give up. You know your scouting reports. You know, sometimes, and I'll show you a couple examples here, we might play a team who has one really, really good ball handler. So we might just deny her the ball and let everybody else play from there. and maybe we're not trapping as much in that scenario. We're just kind of playing it one-on-one and see what happens there. Kind of goes into that next one. Who do you want making the decisions for the other team? You know, if you can work that ball into their secondary or third ball handler, a lot of times that's tough. Those kids aren't used to doing that. You know, most teams have one point guard, right? You're going to give it to your point guard. They're going to bring it up. If you can force that ball into some other kids' hands and not allow them to just stand there and hold it and make a decision, you know, and keep playing at a fast pace. You know, sometimes we get a lot of turnovers and things like off that. Things you can do, you can trap early, you can trap right away. You know, sometimes we might trap as soon as the ball comes in the court. And this is kind of a scouting report thing a little bit. Sometimes we trap late, you know, hey, let's wait till it gets to the volleyball line or wait for it to get across half court. And then we'll try to trap and rotate. And again, and I'll show you some clips of this too. Sometimes we don't trap at all. And I think all of those things, if you can do within the course of a game, really helps to keep that offense off balance. You know, that ball handler, if you're trapping early, they get used to that. And then all of a sudden you don't send anybody at them. And, you know, we get a lot of 10-second counts because sometimes it almost puts teams like they get too passive with it. You know, if they really speed up a little bit and throw it around a little bit, then they start slowing down almost too much. You know, they're waiting for a trap to come. If it doesn't come, sometimes we get some 10-second calls that way. We talked about this one. You know, are you just maybe you just straight up deny the one kid on the team that you know can really handle it, and then everybody else just plays from there. Again, using all the same concepts, same rules that we've talked about. And then, is there a time to get out of it? You know, it's like anything. There's teams that find ways to break it, or for whatever reason, maybe some night you're just not rotating the way you should. Maybe you're in some foul trouble or whatever. You know, that's one thing my assistant coach and I, and he's been with me now for a long time, we talked about before the state tournament this year is, you know, sometimes it's harder to press the whole game against really good teams, you know, so we can't be stubborn enough to say, this is what we do. We're going to do it no matter what. Like I said, in our state championship game. So in Iowa, our semifinal game is on Friday. The state championship game's on Saturday. So there's no turnaround time whatsoever. The team we played is really, really strong program, and they're down state tournament all the time. And they did a few things, just getting the ball in bounds that is different than we've seen. And, you know, we did it at a walkthrough. You have an hour walkthrough before you play. But we just weren't getting matched up real well to start our press. So we weren't getting a lot out of it. And, you know, we kind of talked to the kids, like I said, at the end of the first quarter, and they said, let's just get out of it for a little bit and play half court. So we ended up doing that, and we did that the most of the rest of the game, and it ended up working out for us. So I think that's important no matter what you do. You got to be willing to look at the situation, you know, that the game dictates. And, you know, if it's time to get out of it, we get out of it for a little bit. And then maybe we can jump back in it or whatever. So those are just some of the little tweaks that we do within it, and that have had some success for us there.
Awesome. Thank you.
So here's some examples here. I'm going to try to show you some huddle clips that I put together. I tried to pull clips too from some of our tougher games, tougher opponents. So these first few clips are from the state tournament. So we're the team in white here. So this was our semifinal matchup down at state this year. And I'll just kind of roll it and kind of talk through. So we kind of played back here. So you can see we're matched up pretty well. And if you pause it here, you know, our on-ball defender is doing a pretty good job. You know, our other three in the middle are still matched up. Nobody's decided to go yet. You'll see here, once we get her turned, we try to go and cause a turnover that way. The one thing we could have maybe done a little bit better here. So as we trap here, this girl rotates. Our gal here could have came up maybe a little bit and been there. But again, just kind of sped up the offense and forced to travel.
Okay.
This next one here, kind of the same thing. Start that one over again. We're chasing, and you can see we come from behind on that trap there. That time we set it across half court and just a little bit late getting to that rotation. I think we forced a timeout in that situation. So again, you know, you're maybe not going to get a steal every time, but just in these first few clips, you can see the pace of the game was going. the way that we wanted it here. And if you want me to reshow any of these or slow them down, just let me know here.
Yes, sir. Yes, that's good.
So here's one here. Our bat girl does a good job. So in this particular one, we don't get the ball cut off like we would like, right? Like our we just didn't quite get it cut. So I think this would be a good example here of, you know, this pass right now is probably going to a girl that's not used to handling the ball very much. You know, so right now we're at a disadvantage here, a 2-on-1 situation. I didn't talk a whole lot about it yet, but our player in the back of the press obviously is really important. You know, our main rule for the player in the back is if you're going to leave, you got to get it. So if you're not sure you can intercept the ball, then just stay back and wait for help. And she does, our back girl here does a really good job of not chasing this pass. Because if she comes out and chases this pass, it's a layup, you know, so right. She retreats right away, and able to get a deflection on it. So even though we didn't get in front of it on the trap like we want, we did a really good job on the back end, continuing to hustle and staying active to get a tip there, and then, ended up with a steal. This one here, you know, one thing I think this is the right one. We really like, if we see a spin dribble, we really want to go attack that spin dribble. You know, obviously when they're spinning, they can't see the defender coming. I think this is the one. No, it was not. That was, that might be the next one. So this one right here, let me back up here. Like if I could pick out a perfect one, this would probably be it right here. You know, we got the ball going up the sideline. So, like, right now we would have this player here. As soon as this girl commits to going up the side, she would stay, right, because it's the next natural pass. We come trap from here, and then this gal here is a senior and really understood it. And you can see she reacts right away to jump that pass for the run out. So, if you know, this would be like the textbook example of what we're trying to do right here.
Brian, are you trying, are you always trapping blindside, or yes, you have different types of traps?
Yeah, we want to come from the backside. We don't want to trap from the front. Sometimes we forget that, and we do. But yeah, the whole premise behind what we're trying to do is come from the backside. Okay. So again, this one here, this is what we want. You know, we had a really good rotation. She made the right read there, and then leads to an easy bucket at the other end. This one here, I believe, is the one where it shows us attacking that spin dribble. We're coming there and spins right back into the pressure. And again, gives us an easy bucket. Any questions on any of that stuff so far?
No, sir. I'm looking at, you don't pressure the ball inbounds, or is that just different?
Normally we do not.
Right.
Normally we do not. We will let the ball come in 90% of the time. We were not real big this year. We were pretty small. And at times we tried to deny it, and sometimes they just threw it in over the top of us. We found for this particular team, we were a lot better letting it in and then staying in front of it here. So, this is a different team. This is our, first round game at the state tournament. We're probably a little late to that rotation, but I thought this was a good example of rotating, even though we didn't get it. You know, I probably here would say we probably could just let this one go, you know, but this girl decided to go, which, you know, we tell them, if you're going to go, we're a little late getting there, but then our people on the backside, it's a read. So if you watch, when this girl here, where I got the arrow, when she goes, the one behind her is ready to make her read. So that's kind of what we tell them is, this is our first, it's a chain reaction kind of thing, right? So here's our first action here going to trap. Here's our rotation, our first rotation, then our next rotation. Right. Again, we don't get the steal here, but I thought this was a pretty good example of rotating and keeping the heat on them a little bit there.
Yeah, you're definitely speeding them up for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're trying to do. Same kind of thing here. That would be an example on this one, I think, of, you know, we made him get it to a third ball handler here, and, you know, yes, they're open. But again, I think you get the ball in some kids' hands that aren't used to handling it under pressure. I think we get a turnover off this one there. So again, it's just the constant pace and the constant pressure is what we're looking for.
Brian, do you feel like you get most of your traps across half court when the offense thinks they've beaten it? Because I know in our press, that's our best way to trap. It's not in the backcourt. It's in the kind of the front court.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we do get some right off half court. And again, you know, in that situation, especially if they pass it up there, it's usually in someone's hands that's not maybe used to handling it as much as some of the other players. Here's a good example of our on-ball defender. That girl was really good at it. Her hands were up.
Yeah.
You know, her hands are up. She's running. She might have bodied a little bit, but the ball got poked loose, and we ended up getting a shot. I think here we're going to see a couple 10-second violations. So, like, right now we're not trapping. We're just kind of matched up. And you can kind of tell the offense just kind of goes in neutral a little bit and ended up getting a 10-second call. And so, like, in that one, this one might be similar too, but – there was really no chance in this possession here where we could come from behind. You know, we didn't really have the ball handler going. You know, they weren't really going really fast or anything like that. And here's another. I think this one ends up in a 10-second call as well. So just a lot of different ways you can get to the offense here. Here's an example, I believe, of one just across half court like you were talking about. And, you know, obviously that's a good place to be there just as they cross half court.
Mm-hmm.
Here is our trigger. And then this girl here does a great job of reading her teammate going. And then she steps up to the next pass. And again, then it easy offense on the other end. So this particular game here, I just got a few more if you want to see them.
Sure.
Okay. This game here, so I told you we're a class 1A school, which in Iowa is the smallest of classes. We have five classes in girls basketball. This team here that we're playing, they were a 3A team, so two classes above us. At the time of this game, they were ranked number one in the state in 3A. We were ranked number one in 1A, so it was a pretty fun atmosphere. This team ended up making it to the semifinals in class 3A. So I'm trying to show against some of our stronger opponents, but, this is a really good team here. Here's an example of just kind of speeding things up. We actually missed that one there. And I thought this was a good example of just like, you just got to keep scrambling. So we just missed this rotation. It was the right read.
Uh-huh.
You know, then we contest the three and then you just got to fight like heck to get the ball. And I think we end up with the ball. Obviously that stuff's going to happen. You're not going to steal it every time, right? The teams are going to get shots. But I thought that was a good example there of just our kids just didn't give up on the play and continued to hustle. You know, we had just a sprint to this contest right here and then fight for the rebound and just keep scrapping. And that's kind of stuff that's going to happen quite a bit. This one here, I think we do a pretty good job. Again, we're speeding them up. We're taking this pass away. And sometimes kids know it's coming. I think something in their head just tells them, I got to get rid of this ball a little bit sooner than I want. And this number 10 is a really nice point guard. But we took away that pass and forced the turnover there. So this one here is a little bit of an adjustment. This is one I was talking about. We were having a little bit of trouble there for a while with number 10. She was breaking us down a little bit. And we weren't getting a whole lot out of it. So this is the start of the second quarter, I believe. We talked at quarter. She would inbound it, and they'd throw it right back to her, and then we were having trouble getting her. So one of our rules we talked about earlier, if you remember, was having all five players ahead of the ball. So technically, our girl on the ball right now should be about where the arrow is, right on the free throw line. But we made that adjustment and said, we're going to deny number 10 the ball, that pass back.
Gotcha.
Just for something a little bit different here. So as you can see when that ball comes in, our defender takes away their main ball handler there. And then we end up getting another steal out of that one for a layup there.
Does she leave her man? I know she left her man there. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah.
Even though she was denying. Yeah.
Yeah. We just denied that one early. And then I'll go back to that one here. So they were just throwing it right back in. So we said, let's deny that one. Let's make someone else handle it. And she made that read on her own here. Our defender decided to go. You know, we just told her, don't let him throw it right back to her. So she made that read on her own. And then everybody else read off that and started to rotate for the nice bucket there. So.
Yeah. And Jim is back there, Coach, man. I thought Caitlin Clark was in town right there, man.
Yeah, that play is one of my favorites right there. I'll be honest. That was that's good stuff. So that was our all-state point guard there making that pass. But here's another one, a good example of a good read and rotation from the backside. And again, just it allows us to get so many quick and easy baskets. And that little stretch in that game right there, we end up winning that game by 12. But that little stretch in the second quarter, I think we went on an 8-0 run, you know, a game that ends up 12 points, that's pretty huge. So that's what we found, like, the defense can get us is those 6, 7, 8 point spurts. You hit a couple of those, yeah. You know, and it just gives you a really good chance to win. So I'll just kind of let these roll, but get another time we got the ball into a second or third ball handler. One of them here, they score, and I wanted to show you, even though they scored, I think it's this one. They end up getting a wide open shot here, but I thought we did a pretty good job and gave ourselves two or three chances to get a deflection. So we do a pretty good job here. We just missed that one. We probably should have had that one. We hustle back so they don't get the easy one. Like, that's the kind of shot right there. Like, we can live with that one. You know, we had a chance two or three different times. And if they hit those, they hit those. We just obviously tried to limit that. This last few clips here, this was early in the season. This team is a 4A team. This was our only loss of the year was to these guys. They ended up winning the 4A state title. They were big, you know, and we were quick. It was an interesting matchup, but a lot of what we did here, we tried to play some straight up with these guys a little bit. There's one where we trap and everybody took away the right pass and just forced a bad one there. Same kind of thing here. Just, I think sometimes you can just get kids going faster than they want to go, you know,
right.
And, you know, trying to make a one-handed pass on the move, that's pretty tough. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to speed up the game. We're trying to force the tempo and just really keep a lot of heat on the opponents. There's another one. We're coming from that backside again. I think we got a fingernail on that one for the steal. There we probably came a little bit late and we didn't quite get to the trap. But again, I just think that it speeds up the other team a little bit, that the player knew that we were coming and threw kind of an errant pass there. This one, I think, is an example of one where we don't trap and we just kind of stayed matched up and denied everyone else and ended up getting the turnover that way. So I think that's all I had as far as clips.
Love it.
Hopefully that gives you a little bit of idea of what it might look like. You know, again, those are all successes. You know, there's obviously some ones where we give up shots and, you know, we're not where we're supposed to be, but for the most part, obviously, this has been a pretty good thing for us. The last thing I had on my slideshow here, was a resource. And I know you talked to Mike the other day, but he's got a video out, he's got a booklet out. You know, we've been really fortunate. I told him I'm not buying that video because I don't want to line his pockets anymore and I have to, but
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, it is really good. You know, we're fortunate enough. We don't got to buy the video. We can just watch it happen.
That's right.
But, you know, that's the only resource I had for this. Cause that's where we got it. Again, a lot of it is very similar, I'm sure, to what Mike talked to you about the other day. We might have a couple tweaks here and there, the way we do it and the way we kind of back it off or turn it up and things like that. I know Mike has different calls for it, you know, his green and his yellows, and we don't really do that much. We just kind of play it. And if we want to make an adjustment or something like that, a lot of times it's just during a timeout or whatever, but, I got my contact info on there. I mean, I'd be glad to talk to anybody. You know, we stole most of this from someone else. So I think that's how you learn and share ideas and things like that. So That's really all I have as far as the presentation there. So if you had any other questions or anything you want me to go over again, I'd be happy to do that as well.
Yeah, sure. Just really quick, Brian. First of all, thank you for sharing and getting an insight into your program. My question is, if you go half court, are you just playing straight man, or are you trying to still trap and read?
Read and trap? It's mainly straight man. There might be some times though that if you know that ball handler really puts her head down and drives to the sideline, that will go ahead and trap. For the most part though, once we get to half, we're playing straight up man. And again, I mentioned it before, I think our half court defense has gotten a lot better by playing this full court system, just from an intensity standpoint, you know, and things like that. But yeah, usually once we get to half, we're playing straight man.
Right. And I appreciate that. Hey, my next question for you before you go is, I ask every coach this question, is about momentum. Like, talk to me about your program momentum. And what I mean by that is, when did your program start showing momentum on just being just dominant and successful consistently? And also about a game momentum. What's your philosophy on that? What determines momentum in your program and in your games?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, as far as our program goes, honestly, for us on the girls side, I'd say it probably really started picking up, you know, 10, 12 years ago. Our program had been to the state tournament one time in 1997, and that was it in school history. We had a couple teams that were really close. We just couldn't quite finish it off there in that regional final game to go to state. First time we made it was in 2014. We made the semis that year, 2015. We ended up being state runner up. And we had a really, really good team. We had a really good player. She went on to play at Drake. She was Miss Basketball here in the state of Iowa. And I tell that group of kids, even to this day, you know, a lot of them reach out and text and stuff when they see we did well this year, whatever, that group, I feel it really started the momentum for us here. Just for some more context, my daughter this year was a senior, on our team. So that group of kids I watched play since they were in second grade. And mm-hmm. I remember when those girls were little coming to those games in 2015 and wanting to be like those kids, you know, and, like I said, I teach in the middle school, so I got a lot of our, you know, some of our trophies and team photos and all that stuff. And, you know, the girls see that, you know, that's why I told this group of seniors, like, you guys remember how much you looked up to those kids back then. Being in the middle school now, I can hear these girls talking about our current players and like how, you know, they look up to them and things like that. So I think that's when our program momentum took off. I think you get some more buy-in from parents being willing to take their kids all over the place on the weekends and go play, you know, right. when they see the high school team having some success, and obviously, you know, getting down to the state tournament and stuff is a really fun thing for kids. So I think that's kind of where our program took off. You know, it's just, we got that initial wave of success, and, you know, fortunately we're still riding that wave here. And we'll try to do that as long as we can, but, I think that was kind of where it started for us, on the girls' side. You know, as far as game momentum, and I think we kind of touched on a little bit when I shared with those clips with you, I just think this type of defense can get momentum going your way in a hurry. And like I said, you know, the teams we play know that we're going to pressure and know we're going to press. And if you can get a few early on them, I think that can really swing the momentum of the game. And then you can feel it, you know, with your own kids, you know, all of a sudden we get a couple runouts or we get a couple steals, then everybody else is just up on their toes just a little bit more. They want the next one, you know? So, I think this type of style can lend itself to big momentum swings. It can work the other way too. You know, if you're not getting that last pass rotated to or whatever,
sure,
you can give up some, you know, the other team can grab it from you pretty quick. And, you know, we've seen it in our games this year where it's kind of deflating to us if we're not turning teams over and they're breaking it and getting shots. So, again, I think that's just something you got to feel as a coach, you know, is it time to get out of it for a little bit and maybe come back to it or whatever. But, we've just been able to hit a lot of those, like I said before, you know, those 6, 7, 8, 8-0 runs. And, you know, you do that 2 or 3 times in a game and you got a really good chance of winning.
That's a great separator right there. And I felt like watching you, your momentum was actually there all the time. It just didn't take impact until probably later, because I never saw them run their offense. The advantage of being a pressing team, they never ran their offense. And eventually that catches up with those teams, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things too we found is it does make it hard for teams to get into their stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing we'll do a little bit, which is kind of off topic, but, you know, if the ball gets deflected out of bounds, sometimes the team inbounds it, you know, from the side or whatever, we'll be in a 1-3-1, which is just like on a dead ball, just to kind of mix it up. So
yeah,
just trying to, and that's something we've played quite a bit in the past. We just found it's kind of hard to, you know, man-to-man press and then all of a sudden get everybody where you want them in a 1-3-1. So that's another thing we do to just kind of mix things up a little bit and try to keep the offense as uncomfortable as possible. Right. Yeah, when you're going that fast and you think you got an opening, a lot of times teams aren't going to pull it back out and try to set up. So definitely one of the advantages we found too from playing this style.
Absolutely, Coach. Coach, thank you so much. And I wish you, I know people don't realize Iowa girls basketball, and I know Caitlin Clark is probably the biggest draw probably in America right now. Just talk about that, the impact that she's had on Iowa basketball, let alone the nation. I know there's a lot of kids probably playing now because of her, right?
Yeah, and really, you know, obviously what she's doing is unheard of and never been seen before in the women's game, but there's some really good players that came from our state the last few years. You know, I don't know if she's quite there nationally yet or not, but Audie Crooks from Iowa State is phenomenal. She was a 1A kid. We played against her state tournament a couple of years ago. And I was joking with some of the 1A coaches in the offseason, said, well, now we all should feel a little better because nobody else can stop her either. I think she scored last year in the state championship game. I think she scored 49 points in her last game at high school. And then she put up 40 the other day in the NCAA tournament. So I think, you know, just players like that have done a lot for the game in our state. They're very recognizable and, you know, kids see that. And it's been a lot of fun just not only as a coach, but just as a fan of basketball to sit back and watch some of that unfold.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, thank you for coming on the podcast. You are now, you and Mike are part of the Championship Vision family now.
Coach, I appreciate
it. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you reaching out and having me come on here.
Thanks for sharing the insight into your program, Coach. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark Brazzi for Breakthrough Basketball. Breakthrough Basketball is the world's number one resource for coaching products and camps. Our website features free resources for coaches, parents, and players. We also offer videos and ebooks that range from offensive and defensive systems to drills to skill development and everything in between. Our video products are some of the highest rated and most comprehensive in the industry. We also offer over 400 basketball camps across the country for players of all ages and all skill levels. Make sure you check out breakthroughbasketball.com for all of your basketball needs.
Coaches, thank you for listening to my Championship Vision Basketball Podcast. I know there are some great podcasts out there you can listen to, but I really appreciate you taking the time and being part of the Championship Vision Basketball Podcast family. I would like to welcome basketball coaches to the new Championship Vision Podcast Basketball Coaching Library. Currently, my library consists of over 50 plus digital video interviews with some of the best high school and college basketball coaches in the country, such as Coach Jerry Finkbeiner, former college women's basketball coach at Utah State and Oral Roberts University, and four-time national NAIA women's basketball champion, Southern Nazarene University, and creator of the Twilight Zone Press defense. Also, get access to great high school coaches like Rhonda Farney, four-time Texas State girls basketball state champion, and 47 years at the helm of Georgetown High School in Georgetown, Texas. How can you get access to these great basketball coaches? Go to KevinFurtado/CoachTube to purchase these video clinics separately, or you can access all of my video clinics and a special monthly rate of $5 per month. You can also access these at kevinfurtado.com/coachtube. But go under the Championship Vision Basketball Membership Library to get access to this. You will get access to all my video library for a special rate of $5 a month. Each week, I will produce two new special guest videos for you to review. In addition, I will provide insightful articles on some of my new podcast interviews. Coaches, thank you for being a listener.
Instruct movement safer and easier with FloorMarks, the original temporary floor marking system. Markers for your sealed gym floor that come in 5 bold colors, dry in just minutes, and wipe away with water or our FloorMarks foot wipes. FloorMarks products have been tested by the Maple Flooring Association as safe for sealed floors and have passed safety friction slip tests. One marker equals 5 rolls of floor tape without the same cost, hassles, or floor damage. Visit floormarks.com for more information. FloorMarx.com. Do more with your floor.